We're looking at destiny and our vision for 2014 and beyond as a church, but also there are people obviously listening who are listening on the podcast and various things. So some of this is very applicable to what we do here, but actually a lot of it is very general in the sense of what God is doing amongst his people around the world. And we're called to be part of and raise up and release a Joshua generation. And that call is going out throughout the earth, that God is looking to raise up people to be forerunners, to be sons of Issachar, those who know the times and seasons and know how to react, to embrace the progressive revelation of God's kingdom that he's releasing in these days, to leave old things behind and embrace new things. And last week we looked at what sort of people we need to be to fulfill our destiny. And we need to be Joshua generation people. And we've done a 40-part characteristics of that in the past, so you can look that up. But it needs to be apostolic people willing to go first, Jesus-centered people, creation lovers, lovers of who God has created us to be and has created creation, pioneers, adventurers, leaders, disciplers who are going to take people forward. So we're going to present the vision and strategy as God is giving us for this year and beyond, and we're going to look at how the new ways God is revealing to administer his kingdom that we understand and how we come into, the apostolic blueprints, and obviously we're inviting people to join us on this journey to be part of what God's doing, to discover and fulfill our destinies together, and we need to be in agreement with that. You know, it says in Amos, unless two are agreed, how can they walk together? So we're presenting the vision to say, okay, who's in agreement, who really would like to go along with us in this journey? Prophetically, we've been given a new book that was released to us last year. It was about old fruit going and then a new book being opened. And that promise is a new season. And I'm really excited about the new season. It's a season of discovery, a season of adventure, a season of joy. And those of you who can feel a sense of joy bubbling up and a sense of God's a season of coming into something fresh, I think that is what God is going to start to do. There's a scripture in Isaiah, in Psalm 46:4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. That is the river of life that's coming out of heaven, that comes into us, that's supposed to bubble up in us and overflow out of us. And there's a sense that that is supposed to make us glad, not sad. And so we need a bit of joy. We actually need some more understanding of what it is to have the joy of our salvation. It goes on to say the holy dwelling places of the Most High. Who's a holy dwelling place of the Most High here? It's us. Yes, you can think of it as a corporate thing, but it's actually individually as well. God is in the midst of her. Who's God in the midst of here? Right in the middle of us, living in us. And therefore, we don't need to be moved, and God will help her when morning dawns. Who wants night to be over and morning to dawn? Break out of the light, something fresh, new, a new beginning. And it's like, it's hard going through the night season. But the darkest part of night is just before the sun comes up. And so those people are feeling, oh, this is really dark. It's joy's coming. The dawn is coming. And it says in a word, it says that actually that's when our morning gets turned into dancing. And joy starts to about work. Isaiah 61:3, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting or heaviness. And so God wants to release us into a new season of that blessing, a season of restoration, where there are going to be new levels of intimacy in our relationship with God, new levels of authority from our relationship with God. Beauty for ashes. No one wants to be in ashes. But sometimes you have to go through the fire to bring something new. Things get purified in fire. And God is bringing us out of that place of fire into that. Oil of joy for a mourning, garland of praise for a spirit of heaviness, healing for brokenness, double honor for shame. These are all blessings that God wants to release. Liberty for captivity. And God wants to bring us into that because he's going to place his church in the center stage of what's going on in the world. So he needs a people who represent him, full of love, joy, and peace. And if you look in what Jesus taught about his disciples, he taught them to expect love, joy, and peace to be actually central to everything they were. So what is our vision? What is our mission? What's our heavenly apostolic blueprint, the things that God has released out of heaven to show us? What are the new ways we keep talking about? Because I keep talking about new for old, but what are those new things? How are we going to facilitate this happening amongst us? Well, Colossians 3, 1 to 2 is a key scripture. It says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ. Now, we know Paul taught that we've been raised up with Christ. Raised up where? Into the realms of heaven. Well, I can see you all sitting here. So bodily, you're not in the realms of heaven quite yet. So I'm not saying some of you might look there. I'm not going to go there. But in reality, where is our spirit then? Connected with heaven. So our bodies are here. Our souls are here. But our spirit is actually supposed to be connected to heaven. And it says, therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above. And for those who struggle with looking at heavenly things, this scripture says keep seeking those things that are above. Looking for those things that are in heaven, not to stay there, so they can be released here on earth. And it's where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, that place of authority. Then it says this, set your mind on the things above, not on the things of earth. If you keep looking at the things of earth, you keep looking at the problems. And the problems get bigger and bigger. When you start looking at the things in heaven, you start looking at the solution. And the problem gets smaller and smaller because you see a bigger, bigger, bigger God. And God wants us to keep looking at God who is in heaven and not just, well, we're down here and we're sort of hopefully gazing up, but we can go there and meet with him. That's what he wants, for us to meet with him. So we need to keep focused on those things where we are raised up with him so that we can bring those things on earth. And this is a real key revelatory principle of new ways. Because in the past, we've tried all sorts of methods and do projects and programs and this, that, and the other. And actually, have any of them really worked across the world? Not really. Not to the dimension that God wants. So he's bringing in new ways of doing things. And that means engaging in heaven and manifesting heaven on earth. Our mission is to raise up a Joshua generation. A generation of leaders, mentors, disciplers. Who will be committed in leading and equipping the next generation in a supernatural lifestyle. Not content to keep it to ourselves, but to pass it on. To live a supernatural lifestyle. To freely give what we've freely received. To be blessed. To be a blessing to others. That was what God called Abraham to do. To be blessed. To be empowered to prosper and succeed at the highest level for our destiny. But that, if we're blessed, then we have to be a blessing to others and give that away right throughout the whole earth. Luke 10:27. And this is the foundation for everything. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. So in our relationship with God, where we surrender everything to him, that enables us to then give that blessing away to others. But we have to love ourselves. And that's a big problem for a lot of people. Actually loving yourself, accepting who you are. Because we look at the past, and we look at what we've done, and we feel guilt and shame and condemnation. But actually, this season of joy is that we come into what? Love, acceptance, affirmation, where he tells us who we are. We're not told by what we've done, but who we are and what we will do. So we're not going to be shaped by our past, but we're going to allow our future to draw us towards it by embracing who we are, our identity, and that comes out of our relationship with God. So everything I'm talking about is centered in our relationship with God. It may be talking about vision, maybe talking about what God's called us to do, but without God at the center of it all, what's the point? Everything we're called to do is to bring glory and honor and blessing to God, to acknowledge who he is, his greatness, but also his intimacy. He's a transcendent God who is everything, effectively. He has created everything within himself as an infinite, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing God. And yet he's chosen to come and live in us in intimacy. He's chosen to reveal himself to us in Jesus. He's chosen to come and make his home in us so that we can know him. And we can therefore know ourselves. Because we can see ourselves the way he sees us. And he will continually tell us and affirm us the truth. That's why we want to be lie busted, to get rid of all the rubbish that stops us believing the truth. Because that will hinder us in being who we are, and it will hinder us being able to love our neighbors if we can't love ourselves. Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and even the remotest parts of the world. The kingdom of God was always intended to expand and grow and develop, and therefore we can't keep it to ourselves. Think of Jerusalem as your own life. It can't stop there. It has to go out and touch those around you. Judea, it may need to go wider afield, Samaria, and actually we're called to be a blessing to all the earth. So we have to have a big vision, because God's vision is big. So it's about getting alongside people to equip, mentor them in supernatural lifestyle. Jesus said he's called everyone to make disciples. So to make a disciple, you have to be a disciple. So everything we do is about relationship with one another, where we learn from one another and actually pass that on and equip each other. So we have to be willing to be got alongside of if we're going to get alongside others. So we need to be open and honest with ourselves and with each other, willing to go deeper with God, willing to experience new things, willing to understand new truth, willing to pursue new ways, willing to pass that on to other people. So what is a supernatural lifestyle? Being like Jesus and more. Because it's what it says in John 14:12. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me. Is there how many people believe in Jesus here? Most of you. Okay, so take what this says then. He who believes in me will do the works that I do. So what were the works that Jesus did?
Healing.
Raising from the dead. Miracles, signs and wonders. All sorts of things. Nature miracles, multiplying things, creating things, walking through people, being able to go in and out of heaven. Those are just the things that Jesus did. Then it goes on to say, he will do also, then greater works than these will he do because I go to the Father. So because Jesus was going back into heaven, actually there are greater things than Jesus did when he was on earth that we get to do. Now I think that is pretty amazing. Now most of us will be content with doing some of the things that Jesus did. But actually he wants us to live a lifestyle where we are able to do all the things that he did and greater things. And this is how he did it. John 3:13, and this is in the Amplified Bible, it says, yet no one has ever gone up to heaven. So even though we know Elijah and we know Enoch had gone up to heaven, we know all the Old Testament saints had died in faith, but actually he says they didn't go into heaven. So there are different realms of where people go, and there is one that has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. So Jesus came down out of heaven, and it says this, who is, dwells, has his home in heaven. So standing before Nicodemus, he was able to say, I've come down out of heaven, and yet I still dwell in heaven at the same time. That's how he was able to do all the things he did, because he was connected to the source, and God was in him, working through him in that way. A supernatural lifestyle, doing the works of Jesus, the earthly works and the heavenly works. Because Jesus wasn't contained just on earth. And you actually look at some of the things he did, where he went up into the mountain to pray, he engaged in heaven. He was in the courts when Satan was looking to sift Peter. He was in heaven and earth at the same time. That's how Jesus did it, in a full, intimate, love relationship with the Father, therefore being able to see, hear, know, and do his will. And God wants us to have such a relationship with God that we also know his heart, his will, his purpose, and are able to outwork that every day in a supernatural lifestyle, living in heaven and on earth simultaneously, being a home for God and a gateway of heaven on earth, so that we can see the kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And this is the only way it can legitimately be done. Other people are trying to do it illegitimately by going not through the door, which is Jesus. So they're looking to engage in supernatural, spiritual things by not going through the door. Jesus is the only way you can engage these things legitimately, but there's a whole load of counterfeit and illegitimate things out there. We need to do it rightly. in connection and relationship with God. God is looking for those who want to be on this adventure of discovery, who want to press in for new things. So what are the new things? There is a new governmental structure which is patterned after heaven. That's both corporately, and we'll look at that later, and individually for our own lives. Individually, that means body, soul, and spirit, three representing Father, Son, and Spirit, because we're made in the image of God, in wholeness, connected to heaven and flowing from the inside out. That is the government of God outworked in us so that it could be manifested through us. New revelations and understanding of how to expand the kingdom of God, how to rule and subdue, which is what Adam and Eve were called to do. New ways of ministry, and those were experiential ways. That's why I love Livebusters, because it's connecting you people with God. So God tells people what he wants to do, and then people respond and God does it. All we do is just ask questions to point people to God, which is what it should be. So we're not dependent on superstar ministers. We can all do it, which is what I love, because God is taking away the whole superstar ministry and taking it down to everyone's involved. We all do it. So we're not going to be dependent on the prophet and the apostle and the evangelist and the teacher and the shepherd anymore. They are there to equip us to serve. Unfortunately, we've let them get on with it. Now God is bringing it back, so there are new ways. New ways of teaching. Not standing up here what I'm doing right now. And these are some of the last times I'm going to do it like this. Because actually we need to find experiential ways of encountering God so that he can bring truth to us. Not just you sit and listen to me. But actually you engage with God so God can speak to you. So we need to find new ways of doing that. New ways of prayer. So we're not just sort of down here calling out and hoping God might answer. But we go and talk to him face to face. New ways of interceding. We can do that in a court system in heaven. New ways of administering the kingdom. New ways of partnering with the angelic realm. Read Acts when the church was birthed. Full of angelic encounters. And we've lost that. God is restoring that so we can partner with the ministering spirits who are given to us to help us do what we're supposed to do. So we need to find new ways. New ways about maturity. You see, God takes us on a journey of maturity. And while we're children, it's okay to allow him to do most of the stuff for us. But when we get mature, we have to do the stuff for ourselves. You know, when I used to pray 20 years ago, 30 years ago for someone to be healed, I would ask God to heal them. Oh, please, will you heal this person? Now, actually, he says, well, I've given you the authority to pray for healing, so you command them to be healed, which is what Jesus told his disciples to do. So there's a maturity where we're not reliant on God doing it for us, that he does it with us. It's a different thing. See, Moses did miracles. He parted the Red Sea. Food just appeared every day. Manna, quails came in. Clothes never wore out. They had a pillar of fire and cloud to lead them. They were just children. Now, if you want to remain in the wilderness and let God do everything for you, that's fine. But they all died out there, by the way. So it's not a really good place to be. So what happened when Joshua took them into the promised land? The food stopped. Their clothes suddenly stopped wearing out. Did wear out, in a sense, because they're then a different way. What happened? Moses parted the Red Sea. Joshua didn't. The priests stepped in and they all walked across. When Jericho fell down, Moses hit the rock and water came out of. What happened with Joshua? They all marched around together. And they all blew a trumpet and the walls collapsed. So they were taken to a different level of responsibility. And then when you look at Jesus comes, Jesus basically did the same thing. What did he do? He taught them to do it. Yes, he did it, but he didn't say, right, I'm going to do it forevermore. He then told them to do it. You will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You will raise the dead. You will cast out demons. You will do the things that I did. That is sonship. Sonship needs to grow from being children and to be toddlers and to be teenagers. But actually, sometimes we've got to grow up. And God is calling his church to grow up into the fullness of maturity so that we can actually do the things he's really called us to do. So there are going to be new ways of being salt and light in the community, new ways of being agents of change in history and society and culture. The question is, are we influenced or are we influencers? Because we're supposed to be influencers, those who bring change into everything. New ways to bring transformation to our community. Now, all this is about establishing all things in heaven first so that they can be manifested on earth. So, what is our vision? Well, there are four practical principles that we need to participate in. There are four structural principles that God has given us revelation of that we need to participate in. And that's why we're casting this vision, to stir your spirits, to say, where do you fit? What's God called you to do? Where are you supposed to function? To see where we can all participate in what God is calling us to do. Because we don't want people that we would class in old things, pew fillers or seat sitters. We want everyone to actually be doing what God's called them to do, not on a Sunday morning, every day, all day, at working your destiny, doing what God's called you to do. So it's not about what we do here on a Sunday. It's about every day of the week manifesting the kingdom through our lives. Now, Isaiah 61 is the key for us as a church. This is the key DNA vision, if you like, that God's given us. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Now, that is the first step, to be actually in presence of God, the Spirit of God in us, on us, because he's anointed me. So we have to be anointed. That means smeared with power and authority. To bring good news to the afflicted. Who's the afflicted? Everybody, actually. We think of it, oh, well, it's a certain portion of society. It's everybody's afflicted. Everyone needs God. Everyone needs healing, wholeness, deliverance. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, freedom to prisoners. What's the difference between prisoners and captives? Captives are those who are taken captive outside their own will. Prisoners are those who are in prison because they've done something wrong. And they've been imprisoned. And both of those God wants to set people free from. And then it goes on to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. And we read that as earlier on. And it goes on to say, and they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Why? That he may be glorified. That we're going to bring glory to God from the way we live. Then they will rebuild ancient ruins. They will raise up former devastations. They will repair the ruined cities and the desolations of many generations. Now that is on a macro scale, talking about creation. It's also talking about our lives. And it's talking about, at a micro scale, our very DNA. Because God wants us to come back into the image of Jesus. He wants the whole of creation to be brought back into how God created it to be. Repaired to original condition and beyond. Because what would have happened if Adam and Eve hadn't sinned? I want that. They were perfect. They weren't. They were sinless. You see, they were sinless. They weren't perfect because they had not yet been transformed into the image of Jesus. There was still a process to go through. So there's a whole load more that God wants. And he wants us to come back into that, our own lives. So that everything that's been spoiled, devastated, everything from the past can be restored and made whole, even down to a DNA level. And if you look at the press and the scientific community at the minute, loads and loads of things about genetic transformation within one generation through the power of words and sound and frequency. Loads of it out there, because God is bringing a revelation of how he's going to change things. Now, we have various boundaries and security that is brought by an apostolic vision. Remember last week we said the apostles set the foundation of what the building is, and then everyone else has to be living stones to say what it looks like. So we're having something that's expanding. We have four guiding visionary principles, four guiding structural principles, but within that, everyone needs to be free to creatively express yourself for who you are, to exercise responsibility in defining and developing what we're like. Because if you develop your ministry, it will actually shape what we are as a church. So God is calling us to outwork our destinies together. So what are those four guiding structural principles? Well, there's this pattern of heaven. So we're looking to have a heavenly pattern government, which is a bench of three, an apostolic council we call it. The Hebrew word is a bet din, which was what they had, seven elders and a council of 12. Now you think, okay, fair enough. Four ministry areas, kingly, prophetic, apostolic, and priestly. Now those have been defined and redefined over a period of years. Seven mountain spheres of authority. That's what God has called us to minister in here. He's given us authority in good news, health, freedom, harmony, blessing, enterprise, media. What do all those things mean? Well, we want to fight people to be raised up and find out what they mean and tell us. Because I'm not going to tell you. God's actually forbidden me to go on those mountains of authority because it's for other people to go and find out what is our mandate, what's our blueprint, what is God wanting to do in good news or in health. And we're going to discover that together. Then there are four guiding visionary principles. God has called us to be an apostolic resource center. Therefore, there is a bigger picture mandate that we have to raise up a Joshua generation, not just here, but around the world. And that is always must be taken in view because that is the expansion of God's kingdom. It's always bigger than what you think. And therefore, you have to be setting what you do in a bigger context. That's the first one. Second one, living in and living out the manifest presence of God. What does that mean? It's up on our thing, everything. It's on the front of all our literature. What does it mean to live in the manifest presence of God? It means that God is in you and he's living in you and you live in him. But it doesn't stop there. It manifests through us, around us, so that people engage God and his power and his love through our lives. So we have to live in the presence of God, which is manifest. And so it means intimate personal relationship with God on a day-to-day basis, minute-to-minute basis, and then that being released through us like it was with Jesus, helping people find and fulfill their destinies. We want to help everyone find what they're called to do, who they're called to be, where they're called to go. And if that's not here, then we want to release them and bless them to go into the rest of the world, because actually God calls us to take things out. That might be out into a completely different people group. It might be out into another country. It might be out in different ways because God's expanding our understanding. And the fourth thing is there are five free to be statements, again, which we have as part of all our literature, free to know God. That is God's greatest intention, that we would know him. Not know about him, not just read about him in the Bible, but know him personally, intimately, and because he reveals himself to us in Jesus, in the Holy Spirit. He's our Father. And he wants us to engage in knowing him by personal experience and encounter, because there was no understanding in the Hebrew culture of knowing being intellectual knowledge. You see, I know lots of things because I've read them in books. But there is no concept that I actually know them and a person if I've never met them. So we need to meet God personally. Free to see who God destined us to be. So our vision opened so that we can see our future, our destiny, our scroll. Free to be who God created us to be. Free to be us. Not the us messed up by the world, but the us who God created us to be. With our redemptive gift, with our calling, with our personality that he intended us to have. So we can be free. Free to do what God has prepared us to do. To outwork our destiny. To outwork the things that he's called us to. Free to go where God has destined us to go. In this realm, in the realms of the Spirit. Before, when I wrote that years ago, I had no idea that you can engage heaven and engage the universe and engage things in the Spirit. In that way. So even these statements get expanded by coming close to God and getting deeper revelation. You know, when we first started, we only had three of those statements. Now we have five because God has given us deeper revelation and he's continuing to do so. Now that is a picture of the blueprint, and I'm going to explain that next week. So I could go on today, but actually I'll leave it there because I want to encourage you to embrace who you are in this process. God has called each one of us to be involved. So he wants to release us from the mindsets and the things which stop us seeing who we are as his children, seeing the possibilities and the potential there is in his kingdom, being restricted by looking at the problems in the natural realms all the time. So we're overwhelmed by those things that look too big to deal with, too great to overcome. But we've been called to be overcomers, those who overcome those issues by looking at the solution, Jesus, and his power and his authority and his heavenly kingdom, so that it can be manifested on earth to change and transform not just our lives, but our communities, our nation, the world. Because that was always God's intention. And beyond the world, into the whole of creation, both heavenly and earthly and natural and spiritual, so that we can bring everything back into an integration that God always intended it to be. God never intended separation. When Satan fell and divided a third of the angelic realm, that created separation. That brought darkness when there was never any darkness. When Adam fell, that brought separation. But when Jesus came, he brought integration. He brought us back into harmony with himself. He brought us back into relationship. He released us from the fear of death to bring us back into wholeness, peace and joy and love in the Holy Spirit. Amen? So let's pursue that stuff in our own lives.